Dear Shooter, reactionary responses from government are never a good thing, and the latest discussion is guaranteed to rattle some cages. And now that we have your curiosity, let's break down mental illness and gun rights.
But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, no. I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip
weird.
On, it's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that, that isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Dear Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
Well, I see we're going to start out the evening with rattling some cages, and I think it might be a cave match between Jason and Brandy.
Ding, ding, step in the ring.
I don't need you. I got you beat before I get in there.
Good luck with that. Your advisors are sorely wrong.
And I'm trying to stay out of this, and they keep dragging me in.
Kicking and screaming. He's taking notes, though.
I am. I am taking notes. It doesn't matter, though. I'm going to get my butt handed to me either way.
At least he knows it.
So, came across an interesting article today from Ammoland. And, of course, this whole thing starts out because CNN takes something and blows it completely out of proportion. But they're saying that now Trump's DOJ wants to ban the sale of firearms to people that are dealing with gender dysphoria. And now if you start looking into this a little further, it was simply a discussion within the DOJ. After, and of course it's in response to the Minnesota shooter, the church shooter. But it kind of opens up a can of worms.
A big can of worms.
And I got to say, like, on its face, I'm kind of on the fence on this one.
Well, I spent last week at the NRA Board of Directors meeting.
How was that?
Well, I'll get to all that. It was nothing short of a cage match.
Sweet.
I will tell you, great stuff's being done. But on this topic, since you're on the fence, I want you to go ahead and make your case, right? And know that I'm going to have another side of discussion probably because I spent my time with lawyers from the NRA.
Oh, no, I get that. And I say I'm on the fence because I kind of can lean either way on this as a small L libertarian.
Are you going to let everybody listening know what we're even talking about?
I just did.
This is the if you deal with gender dysphoria, which is the delusion that you're another gender than you actually are, they want to classify that as a mental illness and then prohibit you from being able to own a firearm. That was the net of the discussion that leaked from CNN.
Okay, so I'm with Jason. It's kind of on the fence. Yes, some people have a disease and it's a mental health issue, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I don't think they all have a mental health issue because I don't think all of them are completely changed.
No, but
they don't want to completely change. They just go out at night.
Well, that's the rub. I mean, you have your cross dressers but you know, someone that truly believes that they're a different gender than they are biologically, I think there's some mental health issues there.
Okay, so not just transgenders then. What about the people identifying as cats?
Hey, I identify as a turtle, but you know, I keep trying to identify as a billionaire, but you won't win the lottery.
Well, it's not that
Maybe
cold
you ought
out.
To try.
You can't identify as a turtle just yet. It's not that season.
No. But that, so I mean, on that aspect of it, I'm very much in the camp that you are what you were born with. Biology doesn't change. Read a science book. But on the other hand, being a small L libertarian bordering on anarchy, gun rights are gun rights, and you have a human right to defend yourself, regardless of your politics, regardless of your sexual orientation, regardless of any of that. And I also kind of view that group as highly victimized.
All right. So that's both your stances on it?
Well, there's also the other side of the fence where don't they have like a 50% suicide rate?
It's crazy. And that goes to the mental health issue side of it. But, I mean, just from a pure human rights perspective, I don't think this is a good idea.
Well, so for me on a personal note, right, the Second Amendment's for everybody.
Right.
And it's not for me to determine whether somebody is mentally ill or not. It's not my call, right? So on a personal note, that's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, the lawyers and folks over at the NRA, they believe much of the same way. The NRA believes that the Second Amendment's for everybody. And there is a place on a 4473 if you've been adjudicated
right.
mentally defective.
Right.
That's different than identifying as a cat or a turtle or a woman when you're not one. They also have, are you male, female, or non-binary on the 4473?
Right, and I think that's a mistake.
Well, I would agree with you. But with the Second Amendment being for everybody, we are also looking at, there's a 2% of those folks that are loud. They do the colored hair thing. They scream about, you know, their pronouns. And the rest of them really just kind of want to be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
So the DOJ misstepped in this statement, and they have backpedaled since. Because the Second Amendment is a recognized God-given right to protection.
Right.
Whether it be from a tyrannical government or your neighbor. So in the regards of gun ownership, it's a non-discussion topic.
As it should be. However, I can see, especially after the Minnesota church shooting, and the perpetrator of that was, you know, loudly transgender.
Right.
But and looking at the discussion of transgenderism over the last few years, I can see where the discussion of mental illness came up.
I can too, but I will also say in the same breath, as we're talking about gun rights, mental health is an issue, but they are separate issues. To have your rights infringed upon, you have to have done something and or be put in a position where you are not stable, not fit for society.
Right.
Right. And to me, that's different than transgenderism.
I agree.
So the transgender thing is a reaction to the shooting, and they were looking for a label that they could use to advance a public opinion, lit up social media.
Mm-hmm.
It got exactly the traction they were looking for. It pumped numbers, right? It sold ad slots. And
CNN needs them badly.
Oh, they do. Horribly badly. But at the end of the day, the Second Amendment, gun ownership, it's a right that shall not be infringed. It's recognized as something that the government doesn't get to do.
Right.
And if it's gender, hair color, eye color, heritage, it doesn't matter. It's for everybody.
Yep.
And so that's kind of the stance that the NRA is even taking on this. As much as they would like to reduce shootings and curb mental health issues, especially into the gun violence topic, the Second Amendment's for everybody, and they will fight for that. Now, most transgender folks don't subscribe to the conservative politics and ideals that we all have.
No.
But that's okay. We'll fight for their rights anyway.
Right.
And that's kind of where I think the leading authority on gun rights the NRA is going to take it.
I think you're right, and GOA is standing shoulder to shoulder with them as well on this exact issue. You know, I don't disagree with them, and I support their fight to make sure that, you know, just because you identify as whatever, that doesn't mean that you don't still have a right to self-defense.
And in a lot of parts of the country, like Brandy was saying, they are victimized. They are targeted because they're different.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody needs a method and mode of protection, is those that the society labels them as different. I mean, we light torches and carry pitchforks and hunt down the different. I mean, that's the mob rule, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's human nature.
It's kind of self-inflicted. So
in a lot of ways, you're right.
You think you saying they're loud, they're obnoxious about it. They put it out in public. They make sure you're aware. They wear a damn banner. Now, reel back about 10, 15 years when it was the gays. Mm-hmm. The gay people were doing that, mm-hmm. and up in your face.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same issue.
It's the same people, and by the same people, I mean if you look at the advocacy groups and the legal teams and all of and the judges and stuff that are pushing this, it's the exact same people that did this for the gay rights movement, and once they got the gay rights, they got them their rights. Now they all needed something else to do, and this is where they've turned. This is no different than the I can't remember the name of them, the enforcement arm for the bootleggers, right?
Sure.
When we ended prohibition, they all needed something to do. Enter the ATF.
Agreed. I couldn't agree with you more. We got to be very careful when we start labeling other factions and starting to diminish rights, therefore, because that's a playbook that the other side will gladly take, twist, and turn upon us.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to stand on principle. If it's good for you and me, it's got to be good for them too.
Right. Well, and you're exactly right with that. And our good friend Michael Bain talks about this a lot, and he calls it othering people.
I've heard him say that,
Because what you're trying to do is dehumanize them and demonize them as the enemy because it makes it easier. Our military actually does this.
Othering?
Yes. We label our enemies, usually derogatory terms, ragheads, gooks. You know, you look back in history, because you're dehumanizing the enemy, it makes it easier to kill them.
Agreed. And if you're going to pick a side, you've got to have a boogeyman.
Right.
Right. In the 80s and early 90s, it was the Soviets.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved over to the sandbox.
Yep.
And it became Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
And not all Arabs are bad. They're just not. Not all Soviets are bad. Now, there's a lot of things that I disagree with on an ideology. And if you're going to wage a conflict, you have got to dehumanize the enemy and to make them an enemy.
Right.
They can't be your brother. That's one of the hardest things about a civil war that makes it not palatable, right? If you demonize an ideology, you can't tell. They're not going to wear a uniform.
No.
You can't pick them out of a crowd, typically, right? So you got to be very careful about how you pick sides, especially on a social engaging topic like gun rights.
Right. So NRA is behind this, 100%. They're going to defend gun rights.
They're going to defend gun rights, and that's their charter.
Right.
We are getting back to an NRA that stands on one issue, on principle.
That would be.
And it's going to be kind of a change. We're not going to play into the social ebb and flow of sound bites.
That would be helpful.
We're going to stand on one issue and one issue alone, on principle. And that'll change the dynamic, and the NRA is going to be stronger for it.
That's good news, because from everything I've heard, I've heard there's a lot of chaos, and I don't necessarily mean chaos in a bad way. I think a lot of the new members to the board are kind of walking in there, and they're upsetting the apple cart. which needed to happen.
Years old. It needs to happen.
Yeah. So I'm kind of encouraged, and we'll get into that here in a little bit, but let's talk of 10th Mountain first.
Okay.
Beans, bullets, Band-Aids, and booze. While everyone forgets about the last one, 10th Mountain has you covered. With a range of whiskey, vodka, and cordials, you're sure to find just the right spirit for your next adventure. Just remember to flip up your nods before you take a sip. Now shipping orders to nearly every US state so you can get in on the awesomeness. Enter Deer Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. Whiskey worth fighting for.
Are you fed up with paying premium prices for mediocre performance? It might be time to up your game with Lucid Optics. Lucid Optics delivers world record-setting performance without breaking the bank. From long-range precision, hunting application, and the first-ever reflex optic in blue, your mission won't be compromised. Lucid Optics are built tough as nails for the most demanding situations, using ED shot glass to ensure your view is crystal clear and backing it up with a lifetime warranty. To learn more, ask your dealer or go to lucidoptics.com. Lucid Optics. On target. Under budget.
I think it's funny that we have the office manager sitting at the door complaining because apparently Brandy won't let him out to go see his new girlfriend.
So he's a teenager.
Yeah.
Mom, he wants to go visit.
Well, his extremely older dog brother also loves the same dog. And here's the thing, okay? So Diesel's 4. Sherman's 13.
Yeah.
She's okay. A good-looking bitch.
Sage is 9 months.
Young.
There's right. Jail time involved with some of this stuff.
Man, yeah. Neither of them can really get you in too much trouble. They're cut.
I know, but yeah, it is the favorite.
That's funny.
I mean, you can't blame them.
No. Friends and all.
Well, and I don't think it's different in dogs either. I mean, I've said this before. Men hit peak maturity at about 14, and I think dogs are the same way.
You're probably not wrong at the end of the day.
And especially pit bulls. I mean, they hit like 1, and that's it for the rest of their lives.
And a perpetual toddler.
You're giving yourself a lot of credit at 14. I can't even take that back a few.
He's not there yet.
Oh, I haven't peaked. Well, what was that I told your brother one day? Is, you know, I've never been this old before. I can't act my age. I don't know how.
I don't know. I've never been this old. That's valid.
So, NRA, you spent a week in Virginia.
I did. So we had committee assignments in advance of the meeting, and these committees are all of the programs that the NRA provides value to their members with. It's all the education and training. It's range services. It's membership. It's a lot of the inner workings of what makes the NRA so incredibly valuable as a Second Amendment organization, because they provide these things to the members at relatively no cost, right? It's all paid for through either donations, membership dollars, and or some of the larger endowment donations that are given over the years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of dollars tied up in programs and that value that the member gets. We had days of that, and there was lots of struggles because there's a lot of folks at the NRA that are new, but there's a vast majority of them that have been there for a very long time, and they have a wealth of knowledge, a ton of experience, but they've done it the same way for 30 years. And the world has changed. And just like anything else, you have to adapt and grow with the world,
right?
Or you get left behind. And if we hadn't seen some of the shenanigans that Wayne LaPierre did, some of the spotlights on the antiquity of the nature of the NRA would not have been exposed. Now we're seeing it, and we're able to identify that the issues are there, and we're making progress fixing it. I will tell you, from April to this board meeting, the energy in the room is substantially different. We've gotten the AG lawsuit from New York pretty much behind us. Mm-hmm. The judge gave us some very strict marching orders, which were all good, constructive, best practices for a membership-driven 501c4. And we're following those to the letter.
Well, and just as an aside, I would like to point out that the AG, Letitia James, who brought all this against the NRA, well, yes, warranted, is now under investigation.
And she has done some shady stuff, and some of that's still under investigation.
And so, you know, I hate to point out, but I think she was kind of crooked and out to get the NRA from the get-go.
Oh, make no mistake. What she did was malicious.
It was.
And she had a big piggy bank behind her pushing her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was successful in a lot of ways because of what the old cronies did and allowed it to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And hid from the membership because they wanted to go along to keep lining their pockets.
Right. And I'm not saying that the lawsuit was unwarranted.
No, no.
But
no.
You're exactly right. It was very malicious. Mm-hmm. And not that it redeems the NRA in any way, but you know, it's hard when you're going up against someone hostile to the cause like that.
At every turn, they got something to poke at you with.
Yeah,
right.
They've been
making their arrows and quivers for a long time,
mm-hmm,
before they had the opportunity to actually get those out of storage, if you will, and go to work.
Yep.
But then we fast forward from the committees to the actual board meeting, and there was a lot of really good work. There were some bylaw amendments. There was a lot of progress made in all the committees. It's going to be a slow, tedious road. There's a lot to fix.
Mm-hmm.
But we're making those first foundational steps to bring it into modernization and eliminate the possibility of some of that cronyism to even happen anymore.
Right. And that's honestly what I kind of expected after April. I kind of figured this year was going to be right the ship, get it going in the right direction. And then next year is going to be work on, fix, and modernize the minutia.
And that's going to be a long road. An organization this big with 180 programs outside ILA, there's just a lot to do, and it's not going to happen overnight. We will be actually quite fortunate if we see 2027 really start to show the shine. We got a whole rebuilding year ahead of us of new personnel, new programs, new systems, to bring it into today's age, right?
Right.
Shockingly, a lot of the documents and manuals and things that the NRA relies on a daily basis were not digitized. You couldn't share them in a digital format. They were paper. So that was a big hamper, and it's going to be a huge time sink to get it data entered and digitized.
Right.
So from that perspective alone, it's going to take a minute.
Well, you're exactly right. It's going to be a time sink, but at the same time, if you're modernizing the material as you do it, it's something that needed to be done anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to kill two birds with one stone there.
And while we're under the hood, we're going to fix a few things.
Yeah, which brings me to my next question. You said that the NRA has 180 programs outside of ILA. How many of those programs can be combined? How many of them are redundant?
Actually, not many. There is some combinations that are happening, but they're still independent sections of membership services. Some did get combined. There is a lot that is going to stand on their own still, and we're adding to the plate, actually. I kind of forecast that there's going to be over 225 programs in 2027 as we approach what we're trying to get caught up with in a contemporary world.
Does the NRA have a plan to, I guess the what I'm looking for here is easier, better access from a member's point of view to these programs? Because I know I've gotten on the NRA's website, and I'll be looking for something. Sometimes it's hard to find.
Agreed. So the short answer is yes. You're going to see a lot more transparency in what the board's doing and what committees are actually working on, because John Richardson put a resolution in place in April, and it is a section, and it'll be a members-only section, And they're still working out how members gain access exclusively without letting the other side in and come and mine and get data points to use against us. Once they get that figured out, and they will, there will be a portal where you can go in and see what's going on right now today. They're going to be publishing minutes from meetings that members never got to see before. It's going to be a new day for access. And the website is being overhauled because it is, while it's nice, but it's just scratching the surface of what they already have in play.
Right.
And that is a big deal. The site of that size to implement all the changes we're talking about, it's going to take a minute.
Yeah. And my thinking on this is you're talking about expanding programs. You're saying 220, 225 programs. So one of the things that I've noticed over the years at the NRA is it's very cliquish. You have your staunch supporters of the ARC program, which is America's Rifle Challenge, right? And then you have your friends of the NRA people, and then you have your Eddie Eagle people, and you've got your 4-H people that all, but it's none of them are combining efforts.
That's changing. The only thing that really isn't going to change in that regard in the immediacy is going to be the relationship between the NRA and the foundation. So your friends of the NRA programs are still separate because they're a 501c3.
Well, I understand that. But what I'm talking about is from an advocacy point of view, being able to get the NRA back to a block voting.
Yes. Yes, we're working that way because every single program has a tie-in and a mechanism and a means and ways to get to membership. So that one of the bigger changes that people are, that we're breaking up the cliques.
Yeah.
And, you know, recognizing that we're all on the same team.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
And I really saw that in a big contrast between Atlanta and this last board meeting. The cliques were starting to disappear. They weren't standing in off little groups. People would work a room, and it wasn't a group of people in the corner. It was a conglomerate of people coming and going of different conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to me, was kind of hard to keep track of because there's a lot of folks in a room. But that's okay. It's a big organization, and there's a lot to do.
No, and that's good because I saw that a lot in Atlanta as well. You know, this group is not talking to this group, and this group's not talking to that group. And there seemed like there was palpable friction in some of those groups.
We got rid of some of that friction through elections. Some of those folks that weren't going to embrace the new day of getting along to go along and learning that we're all on the same team, those folks have lost their seats. It's interesting that membership paid attention this round in voting. I usually don't have a whole lot of faith in national-level voting to pick out groups like that, but they did a good job.
Well, honestly, this go-around, if you had social media, they actually gave you pictures and a little short explanation of their beliefs and who they were and what they did.
Mm-hmm.
In votes in the past, we got a sheet of paper, vote for 12. I don't know any of y'all.
Right. And so that whole practice was kind of carved out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called out. In this last meeting that I just attended, it was made very, very clear that those types of things are not to happen anymore. We should not see ads of don't vote for these folks, because let the voters and the membership make up their own mind. But we have to publish information about those folks, their voting record, who they represent, why they're on the board. I think the day of the celebrity board membership is gone. A lot of those folks have stepped out of the board because they don't have really a voice outside their own little personal interest. And that's a big deal. That's kicked out because of the AG lawsuit. That conflict of interest thing is demonized and eliminated to a point where there's penalties if you do it.
Good.
So in that regard, that's a major change of a board of this size for an organization like this to be forced to come together. That's a big deal.
Well, and it's going to be helpful moving forward because everybody there actually has a purpose.
That's right.
And they're not just a face.
That's exactly right.
You know, that's one of the things that's always kind of bothered me. You know, don't get me wrong, Ted Nugent's been a great voice for the Second Amendment, but what has he really done?
Well, I mean, you pulled the one guy out of the hat that actually, even though he was a celebrity, he went to work for the Second Amendment every day.
He did.
And there were other ones that were on the board that They were there because someone needed an honorary face to go with an ad campaign at some point. Mm-hmm. And they gave them a board seat rather than pay them. Right? Those are all pretty much starting to go away. I think the only real celebrity in the room is Dean Cain.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, he's not just a face. This guy gets up and goes to work. He's working to be an ICE agent. So he's working for the American people in lots of other ways as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think that whole thing on the board is changing in such a dramatic, radical way that if you looked at the board 4 or 5 years ago and the NRA as an organization in that same time frame, come this time, say April next year, it's going to be a completely different NRA and the NRA that we all remember from the 90s.
I noticed that even this year in Atlanta, I know there was some turmoil there, but this NRA meeting versus ones that I've been to in years past, 4, 5, 6 years ago, the board was very kind of closed door, didn't really get out amongst the members, didn't talk to people. And when I was in Atlanta this year, I saw board members everywhere I went. And they were engaging, and they were talking to the members, and they were involved. And that's something that I'd not seen.
And that's highly encouraged and sometimes mandated in certain circles and circumstances. That you're right, that's a change, and it's going to be a big one. Membership has direct access to us all.
Right.
There is an email. If you look up at the NRA website and look at how to reach board member, there is an email that is filtered through the secretary's office, and if it's a honest, genuine question, concern, or comment, it is filtered to who needs to answer it. If it's spam or joke or somebody just needs to bash something, it gets posted on an internal place where we can all see it, but it's not necessarily sent to that board member if you just meant to trash something.
Right.
Right. So spam filter, but it's actual guy looking at the spam, mm-hmm. which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's not a robot trying to censor word count.
Right.
Right. Everybody can reach out to anybody on the board and open an honest conversation, and they'll tell you. They're going to probably slant it with their opinion, and there are things they can and can't talk about until they actually happen, but mm-hmm. you get access now, and that's a big deal.
That's going to be a plus. So you know that, of course, my passion is the training side of things, and I'm looking for some major changes in the next year.
I think you're going to get them. I sit on the Training and Educations Committee, and probably some of the biggest heavy lifting must change topics were in that committee. They're going to need help. They're going to need people. We're going to need membership dollars to step up. The changes we're talking about is adding curriculum, revising a lot of the ways we teach and train, the way we train trainers is getting adjusted. There's so much going on in the heavy lifting of that committee alone mm-hmm. that I think you're going to get pretty much everything you want and maybe then some.
I hope so.
I know that they've introduced carbine classes. Mm-hmm. They've introduced shotgun classes. They've introduced precision rifle classes. None of these we had a year ago.
No.
And so giving the students something that would be what's next level training outside just the entry level stuff,
right?
That's a big deal for us too. We own the entry-level stuff, hands down.
Right.
And then expanding on that, giving a student what's next, is one of the top priorities.
Good.
And new curriculum, it's expensive. It takes time. It takes people willing to put the effort in and help the folks that have done it for 30 years get contemporary.
Right.
That's not going to be easy.
Well, and that's my biggest thing. And I hope going forward, especially from the instructor development perspective, I hope that the NRA creates an environment for their training counselors to actually tell somebody, no, you shouldn't do this.
And we talked about that.
That's one of the things that's always kind of bothered me about the instructor side of NRA training.
Yep.
It's like the training counselors are afraid to fail anybody.
Well, they're measured by their metrics on the numbers that they put into the spreadsheet, mm-hmm. right? And some of that's got to change.
Yeah.
We are focusing on quality over quantity.
Good.
And I think our numbers will be adjusted to reality, but that's going to be a big change in transition in methodology. And again, it's not going to be overnight.
Oh, no. No, I would expect 18 months to 2 years.
Yeah, it's coming.
To see any substantial change.
Yeah, and I think that's probably realistic.
Because it takes time to develop this stuff, and then you've got to roll it out in phases, because you have to roll it out to the people that are going to be teaching the teachers, and then, you know, it takes time.
Right.
So by the time it finds an end user, I'm saying two and a half years.
Yep, and then you're probably realistic on that. The other thing that for me was really exciting to watch is the PR side of things. The public relations has been, well, we put a paper on our website. And that doesn't work in today's world.
No.
So we have a new firm that is performance based on their compensation.
Good. Which is interesting. So we're not doing any Ackerman.
No. those days are gone. But the firm, they have a crew of young, tech-savvy, socially networked kids. And I say kids because they're under 25. But they're the ones leading the charge on to-the-minute reactions to what's going on in the conversation surrounding gun rights. And so while it won't be necessarily instant, it's not going to be the 30 to 40 days we used to see.
Well, in this world, though, you have to. You have to be almost instant. And if you've got that crew working for you, that's exactly who you need.
Right. And these are folks that manage political campaigns to keep the spin from going out of control.
Good.
And they're very good at it.
Good.
I was really excited to watch that we're going to be able to address the issues as they come up in real time with on principle, standing on one ideal alone. And that's what makes politicians scared of the NRA.
Right.
We don't get lost in the weeds. If you infringe on this one thing, we're coming for you.
Right.
If you have a record of not voting in the right way constitutionally, we're coming for you. And so all you politicians out there that may be listening, straighten up, because we're coming for you. And I sat a long time with Mr. Comerford, and as young as he is genius-level intelligent. He manages so many irons in the fire at one time and keeps them all straight, I was impressed. He's a very impressive, articulate individual, and he is leading the charge on Capitol Hill, getting us out in front of the right topics with the right people.
Good. Let me ask you this, and this might sound like an inflammatory question. And
after what I've been through, there are no such things.
I'm probably advocating for discriminatory hiring practices here, but when the NRA hires someone, and especially looking at these younger kids, not to say that some of these younger kids, the 25 and under, aren't like going the conservative side, but do they get vetted on their stance for gun rights before they go to work for the NRA?
They didn't used to, but with Mr. Hamlin at the wheel, who does the hiring and vetting and all that, his filter for bullshit is pretty well developed. And yes, every new hire gets very well scrutinized. And if they're not one of us, they don't make the interview process.
Right.
And it's that simple.
And I mean, it sucks. It sucks that you have to do that. But we've seen this over the years of anti-gunners infiltrating our organizations.
Yep. And we're working really hard to eliminate that, because it has happened.
And it sucks, because it puts you in a pickle of, you know, well, you discriminated against me because I don't believe in your politics. And under anti-discrimination laws, that's reason for a lawsuit. However, you're a political organization. If you don't stand for the banner.
Yeah, we would just professionally call that a bad fit.
Yeah.
We wouldn't call out necessarily anything specific other than, thank you for your time. We're not going that direction currently. and it eliminates any of the discriminatory type of discussions, because they get to hire who fits their organization.
Right.
Now, they can't do it on sexual orientation, religious creed,
no.
Color, skin. They can't do any of that. And I will tell you, the staff at Fairfax is quite diverse. They come from all walks of life and have been there, some of them for a long time. Some of them are quite new, but the quite new ones have a fire in their belly and they're going to work.
Good.
I'm excited to see my NRA take this direction.
Good. Oh, wow. We kind of hit time early this today.
Oh.
I don't know what happened.
But it is. Well, you get me on my soapbox, and it doesn't take long.
It's perfect. So, but I'm glad to see that the NRA, I think, is on the right side of this transgender issue. As complicated as that's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
I think the NRA and GOA both are leading the charge in the right direction. It's a torn issue, but it's very nuanced and it's very complicated, and it's going to be weird to navigate it. But I think at the end of the day, fighting for gun rights is the right way to go.
That's really pretty simple, but society makes it complex.
I do.
What we're doing is weeding through all the bullshit.
Right. Right. And so, I guess as we weed our way through the bullshit, you know, make sure you've got your tall enough boots on. And until next week, you know what? Keep blaming your gun.
That's right.